I'm intentionally using paper. You remember this stuff? There's a reason for why I'm using paper. You don't realize it, but I'm actually modeling for you. We've gotten things so complicated and so technical and so, you know, you need all this equipment to do the work of the Lord today. Not always. But what we're finding on the mission field, what we're learning, I'm always learning. I'm always continually to examine what I'm doing and say, what are we doing wrong, Lord? Please teach me, especially how to make disciples. Teach me, Lord. I only have, my time is running out. And so please help me. And if you show me, I will obey. If I'm convinced it's from you, I will obey. I'll do the best I can to obey that. So I was praying that prayer earlier this year, and God brought across my path some things that I want to share with you. And since I've learned them, I have not stopped sharing them and training people in these things. It's almost embarrassing. It's so simple. But that's the beauty of it. It's simple, it's biblical, highly reproducible, and you can use it right as you walk out of here. You can start using it right away. And that's really what we need. I use paper because we found if you start using like overheads or whiteboards, people just remember the whiteboard. They think, oh, if I don't have a whiteboard, I can't train this. Now I'm going to ask, I think it's Josh and Shannon, they could give out a piece of paper. Don't write on that piece of paper yet. Okay, so this morning's message is called The Four Fields and 411. So use your bulletin, the backside of your bulletin, if you want to take notes on the four fields. You could probably just turn this sideways if you want. You don't have to. So on the four fields, use this sheet of paper. The 411, you're going to be using the piece of paper I gave you. You need a pen. If you don't have a pen, we have extras. So raise your hand if you need a pen. Okay. Drink water before I get going here. Just the last few weeks in Spain, in house churches, from house to house, I've been training people in this. And it's just really encouraging to see what God is doing. It's so simple. It's so, and it's biblical. And you'll, hopefully you'll be as encouraged with it as I was. I'm going to start off with a passage that's in Mark 4, and this is the four fields. So if you can start off with Mark 4, verses 26 through 29. And one thing I've learned in the last few years, is to read passages more than once. So could we have two people read this passage in two different translations. Mark 4, so it's going to be four fields. I hope I don't misspell. And it's Mark 4, 26 through 29. Could two people read that real quickly? You can stand up and read it really loud. Okay, they've got microphones.
Hello?
Okay.
Mark 4, 26, 29?
Yeah. 26 through 29.
Oh, okay. He also said, and this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seeds on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows through he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come.
Okay, thank you. Now I'm going to draw something here, and then you can draw this. And the beauty of this training, you don't have to be an artist. You can, you know, mess it up even. You know, don't worry about it. We really want to communicate, you don't have to be an artist to do this training. I heard a saying today, I love it. It says in the book of Acts, it was the Joes not the pros who spread the word of God. So it's just the average people. So we're going to look at the four fields now. And let's read that passage again. And we're going to draw it out, okay? So can someone else read the passage one more time?
And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How, he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come.
Okay, so we have a sower or a farmer. He goes into a field. He enters into a field. And what does he do next? Scatters seed. And then what happens? He goes to bed. We'll put some snoring Z's there if you want. He goes to bed. Then what happens? Like, what's up, and what happens?
The seed
starts to sprout and grow. Just pops up. And then what happens? I think there's a little bit more before that, right? Is there another section? What happened? Read it again. It sprouts and grows, and then what does it say? Read it. First the stalk. And then what else?
Then the head.
And then it's full of. It's growing. It's full of. And now the time has come to harvest it. To cut it and harvest it. Well, in many places of the world nowadays, they use this illustration to help us to visualize. This is just an application, okay? It's not the interpretation. Jesus doesn't interpret it. He just says, this is how the kingdom of God grows. So what we're learning, this has helped many, it has helped myself, to realize, can you see it pretty good, right? You see it all right. The farmer, he has to go into a field. What if he prepared the field, took all the rocks out, fertilized it, watered it, put some, you know, whatever in there, what would he have?
A field.
Just a bunch of dirt. Field. What was lacking? What's, if you want to have a harvest, if this is his, what do you have to do? You have to put the seed. You have to sow the seed. Okay. So he goes in. He has to sow the seed. This is his right. And then he goes to sleep. There's nothing else he can do. He's done his part. Now he waits. And the miracle starts happening between the seed and the soil. And it says, and on its own, it starts producing the blade. And then it continues to grow until it finally matures. And then he cuts it. And he gathers it together. Well, in this, we see a pattern for us as missionaries, but also for ourselves here in this area. What is your field? What is your field? Is it your neighborhood? Your neighborhood? Is it your city? Is it the 510 area code? What is your field? And what is your end vision? What are you trying to accomplish? It's very important to know what you're trying to accomplish. Okay, so you choose your field. The next thing, we would say this is entry. We must enter, and we must connect with people. I'm going to apply it to evangelism. We must start praying and looking for these people who God has prepared, and the next thing we do, we start sharing the Word of God. This would be evangelism or the gospel, especially the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. It's the seed of the Word. The gospel, Without that seed, without the gospel, there will not be a harvest. Next thing, he waits. He's done his part. The power is not in the farmer. The power is in the seed. His job is to sow the seed and then pray and just wait. Next thing is you've got, what we would do is we call this discipleship. It's taking that seed that starts to sprout and we start to nurture it and help it to grow. We actually start groups here. We call them discovery groups. We want to get people into the word, but we also call them three-thirds groups. A three-thirds discovery group. And what do we mean by that? It's a group where you divide up your time in three parts. I don't have time to explain it right now, but I just to give you an idea. So we evangelize, we're sharing our story, God's story in the gospel, and those who respond, we call them green light people or yellow light, they're open. We invite them to, hey, would you like to read the Bible together? Would you like to meet together? And we get them into a three-thirds group. And a three-thirds group has three parts. You look back, you look up, and you look forward. The first part of it, you're saying, how did it go since last week? How's everybody doing? And we start saying, hey, did you do what you said you were going to do? Did you have a chance to share with anybody? Did you obey what you said? We look at the new passage. We look up, hear from God. And then we look forward for this coming week. We set goals. What do we want to accomplish this coming week? So there's get on YouTube if you want. Just look up three-thirds group. It's all there, okay? There's nothing original here. I did not invent this. Okay, so this is discipleship. And then this would what we call gathering. Gather. And then out of the harvest comes seed that the farmer would keep to be able to continue this whole process. In our work, this would become, okay, so this would be our entry. We're looking for persons of peace. We're praying. We're sowing the gospel as often as you can. He who sows much reaps much. We must increase the gospel sowing. If we want to grow here, the tendency, there's two tendencies in churches, and I'm not just talking about Fairhaven, but a church, you have the inward ministry of its edifying itself, its inward. But if a church only focused on the inward, it's done everything inside, it will eventually die. If it's focused only on the outward, in evangelism and reaching out, it will also die. It has to have a balance between the outward and the inward to be healthy. So we're trying to encourage ourselves. So we're going to equip the saints to do this, to share the gospel. We'll start three-thirds groups. And our goal is that they get saved and baptized, and we start simple house churches. Simple house churches that follow Acts 2, 36 through 47, all those elements that are in there. So those are that's our process. And we're trying to reach areas, large areas, like maybe Catalonia. We need to train up lots of people. We call that our wig take question. What's it going to take to reach the field that you believe God has put on your heart? In my case, I have two fields. It's in the center of Spain and then Catalonia. And to see this, it's not what I can do. I can't do it. It's what needs to be done. And that means we need to train lots and lots of people. We need to be praying. He said the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest will send forth workers. So we're praying and we're training. So out of the harvest, you start having seeds, new people. You want to train them to become your future leaders who keep this whole process going. So you're just keeping this going. Leadership development and training is key. Okay, that is all I wanted to share on the four fields. Now we're going to spend our time on 411. 411, you're probably wondering, what is 411 mean? All it means is four questions on one piece of paper in 1 hour, or less than an hour, okay? So we're going to look at, you've got your piece of paper. My wife sat up late last night. I said, you don't have to do that. She did. She put a little small one here, two, three, and four. Okay? So you're going to have a little booklet that's going to be your disciple-making training. in one little piece of paper. That's how simple it is. Do you remember when Gene used to say, when you ask questions, always say, like, which hand has the marker in it? You know? You want to be so simple. Simple things multiply. Complex things don't. We need simple tools, and here we go. So the first, number one, is why should we make disciples? Why should we make disciples? And can someone read Matthew 28, 19 and 20? Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Someone have that? You can read it out loud for us.
Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Okay. Very good. So the why question, why should we make disciples? Well, one reason is because we've been commanded to do it. We have all been commanded to make disciples, not just missionaries, right? It's a command to make disciples. Have you thought about that? So that's just one reason. But we're going to look at another reason. And it's because this is your identity. This is your identity. This is the reason you should make disciples. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Could someone else read that? Let's read this twice because it has a lot of information in there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As through God, we were making an appeal through us. We beg you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Okay, to save time, I'll go right to it. Normally, we do discovery. We just say, what is our identity in this passage? Once you've trusted in Christ, you, in verse 17, you become a new creature. You've been made new. You've received a new nature. You're, some say, a new creation, but you've become a new, so that this is our identity. We're new creation. We're new creatures. And if you're a new creature, this passage says in verse 20, you're an ambassador for Christ. Whether you realize it or not, you were made an ambassador of Christ. This farmer knows who he is. He knows he's a farmer. He's not trying to build a building. He knows his identity. He's a farmer, and he's planting seed. We need to remember what our identity is. We're ambassadors for Christ. And again, you don't have to be perfect at this, but God is sending us into a moment. I want to just emphasize a couple words there. Therefore, as anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. And look at verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given you a ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. I hope those words, I've been praying for everyone here, that those words would sink into your heart. That you have been given the ministry of reconciliation. It's not just for the missionaries. It's for every single one of us. You have been entrusted, it says in another version, you've been entrusted with the word of reconciliation. Our ministry, since we were born again, our ministry now is to help people be reconciled with God. That should be one of your main activities as an ambassador for Christ. We don't want to just stay inside. We must remember this. This is such an important truth. So that's the why. Simple, huh? I hope you're... Number two. Who? Who do we reach? And as I said, we're trying to... Every place I go to, every opportunity I have, I'm training people in this. And you'll see why as I share this. So who are you supposed to reach? We're going to make what we call an oikos map. Oikos map. An oikos map, your oikos is your household or your sphere of influence. It's the people you know who you come in contact with daily or weekly. It might be online. It's where you live. It's where you work. It's where you study. It's where you play, if you have a hobby. It might be online. Your sphere of influence. All of us have a sphere of influence or a circle of influence. Now, what I want you to do, think of the people that are in your life who are far from God. I want you to put a circle in the middle, and I want you to write your name in that circle. I'll just put mine here. And I want you to think of 4 to 5 people that you know, and if you can't come up with anybody, ask the Holy Spirit to bring it to your mind. And who is in your circle of influence or your sphere of influence? And write their name down. People who are far from God, who you have contact with, and write their names there. I'm going to give you a minute. Okay, now I want you to think, who are these people connected to? Who are they connected to? So I put my brother Tyson. I don't want to say too many things in case someone sees this on the internet. I don't know if this is going to be on YouTube or something, but who is he connected to? And you, so write down, it might be another family, it might be a husband or wife or children, it might be a neighbor, but who do you know that they are in, they know? We have one lady in we have a group that just restarted, and the lady's daughter works with the King of Spain. So I would put Juli, Lydia, Rey San Carlos, you know, or Rey Felipe. You know? So let's think of the people who are in their circle. Please write down some names you can think of. You might just want to say family. You get the idea? In John 17:20, we learn something about how Jesus prayed. John 17:20, and Jesus, it says that Jesus, this is his prayer in chapter 17, he says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who also will believe in me through their word. Jesus was praying generationally. He was praying for the people that they were going to talk to, who they had contact with. We call this strategic prayer. So this becomes your prayer list. This is your way of praying. It might be your neighbors. It might be family. But this is generational praying. So I have a prayer list. I don't think I brought it with me right here. I guess I left it in my... But I carry my generational... I have a trouble saying that word. Generational prayer list in my pocket. As I'm going through the day, I pull it out and I just pray for my neighbors in Spain. I'm praying for their wives. I'm praying for the husbands. And I already had a victory. One of the husbands of one of the wives came to the Bible study. I was so shocked. And we're praying for their names. And who are they connected to? Their children, their neighbors, their friends. So you want to use that as your prayer list or your strategic prayer. So these are the people, this is your sphere of influence and how far it can reach. Okay, so you want to start taking your prayer that this drawing that you've made, you might have it start to grow and pray over that. Okay, the third one is what are we supposed to say? Number three, what are you supposed to say? A lot of people they're afraid to evangelize. They just don't know what to say. And they don't evangelize. They don't talk to people. But we must remember that we are ambassadors for Christ. So the first thing you're going to use, the most powerful thing you can use or say, is your personal testimony. And you just got through studying the book of Acts. The book of Acts, Paul's testimony was repeated three times. It gave the description of his testimony, what happened, and then he shares it two more times later on. It just shows the importance of our personal testimony. So this is what we're going to say, and we call this your 15-second testimony. And you're probably chuckling, how can I say anything about my life in 15 seconds? Well, the Samaritan woman did it. I just met a man who told me everything I'd ever done. Could this be the Christ? I was blind, and now I see. Not even 3 seconds. The shorter can be the better. This is the thing. If you can give your testimony in 15 seconds, you can surely give it in 3 minutes. But if you can only give your testimony in 3 minutes, you probably can't give it in 15 seconds. So this is what. Take your sheet and divide it in two. Okay? How do we prepare a testimony for 15 seconds? Well, put the cross. This represents when you came to know Christ. And what were two things that described your life before Christ? Two things that describe how you responded to the gospel, and two things that show how your life changed as a result. And you want to start off your testimony saying, There was a time in my life, there was a time in my life, time in my life, when I was, and you want to choose two things. In my own life, this has been a hard exercise. I think it's hard for everybody, but I had to think about it. I was proud, and God humbled me. And someone spoke to me about Jesus. My best friend spoke to me about Jesus, and I put my faith in him, and I followed him. Followed Jesus. I was became a new person with a new purpose, a new person, and I had love for others. Do you have a similar story? Do you have a similar story? Okay, check me on it. Can I do it in 15 seconds? Someone have a watch there or something? Okay, Mel, go. Tell me when to start. There was a time in my life when I was proud and humbled, and someone spoke to me about having faith in Christ, and I decided to follow him. I became a new person, and I have a love for others. Do you have a story like that in your life? 14 seconds. Okay, now take, don't start clapping yet. Look at the person next to you. And remember, we used to do this in 3 minutes, right? Remember how we were? But now we're going to do it in 50 seconds. Look, the person that tried it, write down what you have and practice right now. Just practice with the person sitting next to you. See if you can do it in 15 seconds. Yes, Jess. Okay, the first two are describe your life before Christ, and the other two describe your life after Christ. Okay, two things. Like, I was proud and I was humbled. Someone spoke to me about Jesus' love, and I put my faith in him and followed Jesus. I became a new person with a new purpose, and I had a love for others. Do you have a similar story? So you have to think about it, but try to describe two things from your past life. You were selfish, you were fearful, you were self-sufficient. I don't know. Come up with your own words, okay? Just take a minute or two, and then I want you to practice between yourselves. You don't have to have it perfect. Go ahead and start practicing as you do that. Okay. Hey, that's just a rough draft. You need to, do reps. You got to repeat it, practice it, perfect that, and share it with others. Share it on the street. See how the Lord will help you perfect that. It just gives you a way to start. You know, there was a time in my life when I was very proud, and then God had to humble me. And then my best friend talked to me about Christ, and I put my faith in him, and I followed Jesus, and since then, I became a new person with a new purpose, and I have a love for others now. Do you have a story similar to that? It's just a way of breaking the ice, but it's also showing this contrast between this. I had an interesting experience last week in a house where I was sharing this, and I get a phone call on Monday, and this young kid named Marco, he's half Italian and half, I don't know what else, Peruvian or something, but he's an engineering student, double major engineering student, very bright. He calls me and said, "Can I talk to you? I know you're leaving soon." I hardly knew him. I said, "Okay, what time?" "Tomorrow, 5, okay, let's get together." He said, "You did the training with us, and all the guys I was sitting with, the group of people with me, all were talking about how their lives have been changed. I don't have a life changed." And he said, "Is there something, what's wrong?" And so just got to go over God, and then I had to meet with him again on two times this week, and then we had to leave. But so God can use your simple story. It made a big impact on this kid, right? Okay, now we're going to share something that's really cool. I shared this with Bobby last night, and I asked Bobby, "Hey, would you be willing to do this for me?" Dude, he said, "I'll do it." And he hasn't practiced, I don't think. And I learned this. To me, this is probably one of the most revolutionary things I've learned in a long time. Okay? It's kind of small here. Maybe I should make us another piece of paper for it. But you guys can write it on your little second half, okay? I learned this in Sevilla recently, and Bobby's going to tell us about what we're supposed to say once we've shared your story. There you go. He just learned this last night, like 9 o'clock. So
9 p.m. I've practiced one time when I learned it. So yep. We'll see how this goes. So the idea is you're talking to somebody and you're talking about their life and their story in their life. And they might be sharing stuff with you. And you can say, you know, some of the stuff you've shared with me reminds me of something that I heard that really impacted my life. And it's an illustration. It just has three circles in it. And that's the first circle. That represents the world that we live in. And the world we live in is broken. You can see it all around you in the news, and we can even know in ourselves that the world's broken, and that we sense that in some ways we're broken too. We just live in a broken world, and we're broken people. And people are trying to, escape their brokenness in lots of different ways. So it might be, you know, for me, before it was drugs and alcohol. It might be by trying to get a lot of money and be rich. That would have been nice too. It might be by trying to have a lot of people respect you and follow you and move up in your company or your job. It might just be by scrolling endlessly on social media, but we're trying to find ways to escape our brokenness. But what we find is all those things are like springs. They just pull us right back into our broken world, and they don't ever really solve the problem. They just continue keeping us in our brokenness. But, you know, when God first made the world, he didn't make it broken. He didn't make it to be this way. He made it to be a place where we would live in a loving relationship with him, and we would live in a loving relationship with each other. So when God first made the world, it was meant to be a place where we walked with him and knew him and loved him, and he loved us, and we loved each other the same way. But what man did was they ran away from God. And I can't draw a guy running really well. But they ran away from God. God gave them just one simple thing to obey. And man said, I don't want to listen, and I'm going to do my own thing. And we ran away from God. And when we ran away from God, we broke the world. And the Bible calls that sin. When you turn your back on God and run from him, the Bible calls that sin. And that's what led to this broken world that we live in. And it caused us to be separated from God. And even though we ran away from God and we sinned and we live in this now broken world, and if we die in that state, we'll forever be in that broken state in what the Bible calls hell. Even though that's what happened, God still loves us. And so God came up with a way to fix this broken world. And he did it by sending Jesus, who did three things. The first thing he did was he entered our broken world. He came. He was born as a baby. God became man, born of the Virgin. And he came and lived a perfect life in our world. And he did everything that was right and went about doing good. And evil people, because we turned our back on God, we crucified him. But that was part of God's plan to bring us back to him. Because when he was crucified, the judgment and the punishment for our sin was put on Jesus. He bore our sins on the cross. And then he rose again from the dead so that now we could be forgiven of our sins. And what Jesus did when he did that, when he died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead, is he caused a doorway to be opened in our broken world, a door that's closed, it's open, and a door that's open out of our broken world. And through Jesus, we can get back to a relationship with God. Through Jesus, we can get back to a relationship with God. And the way to walk through that doorway is... there's three things we have to do. The first thing we have to do is repent. We are running from God, and we have to turn and go back towards Him. The second thing we have to do is have faith. We have to trust that what Jesus did on the cross, what Jesus did on the cross can save us from our sins. And then we have to receive Jesus as our Savior and as our King, as our Lord. We have to decide to follow Him. So if we repent of our sins and have faith and receive Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, then we're brought back into a relationship with God, and we're brought near to Him. And the Bible says that we become new creations, that we're now made to have a relationship with God, and we can live in loving fellowship with Him and begin to be changed and made to be like Him. And the amazing thing about this is not just do we get to live in a loving relationship with God, but God then sends us back to the broken world. And He says, go back and tell people about the doorway. Tell them about what Jesus did so that they can be reconciled to God too. Which, now, you're supposed to ask some questions afterward. And so the question after that is, right now, which place would you say that you're living in? In a broken world or in a loving relationship with God? Which circle would you say you're in? And, you know, they pick a circle. And if they pick the broken circle, you can ask them. Oh, now my brain is forgetting. It's 9 o'clock.
You've done amazing.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to be? Yeah. If they say they're in the broken circle, you can ask them, would you want to be in a loving relationship with God? And if they say yes, then you talk to them about these three steps they can take. If they say they're not sure, you just ask them if they want to keep studying. If they say no, you ask them if they want to keep studying. But I think that's the whole of it, right? All right, thanks.
It's quite amazing. He only heard it one time last night. And the secret to learning this is immediately turning around and practicing it. The first time I saw this, I was at a conference called Iron on Iron in Sevilla. And this evangelist named Russell Godward, who just spends a lot of time sharing this on the street. I mean, they even have it on their phone, on the back of their phones, you know, the three circles. You can look that up on YouTube. Just look up three circles. There's the explanation of it. No one owns it. But I said, can you tell me what the three circles are? I mean, I've heard about it. And we were having breakfast, and there was a 7-year-old boy sitting across, and another missionary colleague in front with his 4-year-old son on his lap. So Russell started talking to the 7-year-old son and sharing this story. And he came to said, would you like to, you know, be reconciled with God, receive God? And he said, yes. He said, well, I want you to talk to your dad about that. And then he said a few more words. And then that was the end of it. Russell turned to me right away, the little boy. And what we use, what I now carry with me everywhere I go, are 3x5 guards in my back pocket. And I carry a pen on my right. And so that's how he drew it on a 3x5 card for this little boy. Then he turned to me, and the little boy turned to his 4-year-old brother and said, Zachy, look at this. The world was broken. And he started sharing the gospel right away. And Russell looked at me and said, it just multiplied. It just went second generation. See, we need things that are contagious that can multiply quickly, that anybody can do. And then I heard the next day, my friend Denny, he called me and says, guess what? I forget the other little boy's name. He says, he talked to his grandfather in Canada. And he said, I don't know what he calls his grandfather. He says, do you know, the world is broken. And God didn't want it that. He shared the gospel with his grandfather, 4 years old. And so it went first, like two generations in one day. And we've been training this to others, and they've just taken it. Some guys that just take it, they'll train a group of young people, and then they send them to the streets. It's just going everywhere. So this is called the three circles. I want you to take 3 minutes, and one of you do it to the other person sitting next to you real quick. If you don't practice, you will not do this. I would rather just, and we're going to end my message very soon. I only have one more point, and it's really short. This is the longest thing. So could you just practice doing the three circles, one of you with the person sitting next to you? The world, we live in a broken world. People attempt to get out of their brokenness through different things. And it wasn't like that in the beginning. There's the story. You just think about it. Just practice it. It doesn't have to be perfect. So, I see people getting into it. But to really get good at it and feel comfortable with it, you need to practice it. You need to do repetitions of it to get competent and confident. But it will come. And try to practice it on the street. Candy and I have used this since we've learned it. I mean, immediately we started using it. One time, I'll just give a couple stories. This week, so I won't go way back. This week we're out at Marina prayer walking. It was kind of cold, so we started walking closer to the golf course. And just said, Lord, you know, we just lead us if you have somebody you want us to talk to. And we saw this lady sitting on a curb. And I just felt like that's her. You know, Lord, this is the one I'm supposed to. I walked up to her. And this is the way we do it, okay? We just say, we're out praying for our neighborhood. We're all just praying for people in the neighborhood. Do you have anything we could pray for you about? Just, you know, that it could be about a family member or yourself or anything. It could be a health issue or whatever. She says, yes, I have two requests. And I could tell she was Latin American, so I changed to Spanish. She says, they just discovered a tumor on my back, on my spine. And then she said, and I have a son who's in prison, Alejandro. Could you pray for him? Candy prayed for her spine, her back. I prayed for her son. We don't lay hands on him or anything, but we just show love. And then we just listen to them talk. And usually more brokenness comes out. I say, hey, can I share a story with you that someone just shared with me recently? Do you mind if I sit down? And I just sit down next to him and I start drawing this thing. You know, we live in a world of brokenness. Every one of us is broken in some way or another. And a lot of us have tried different ways to get out of our brokenness. Some of it we didn't cause, but other of it is caused by our own sin. But we try to get out of it by different ways. But you know, in the beginning, God had created the perfect world. That wasn't his plan. But we rebelled against God. And now he sees us in our brokenness. He still loves us. And he provided a way out. And then I share about Jesus, how he came. I just shared this exactly. I just went to tell Bobby. I don't know how you did that. That's almost exactly what I said to him last night. That's how reproducible this is. It's so quick. And that's what we're looking for. Things that are simple, biblical and reproducible and easy to use right away. Can you imagine? I don't know how many people are we here today, Kevin? Would you estimate? 70? Got online people. Okay, let's say we're 100. If each one of us shared with three people this week, think of how much seed we would sow. 300 gospel presentations this week. You don't have to twist anybody's arm or anything. You're just, look at the message that we're bringing. If you have another gospel presentation that you like better, use it. I'm not trying to say everybody has to go to this gospel presentation. I'm just saying, if you don't have one, I have lots of gospel presentations, but when I heard this one, it's like, remember I told you I was praying that God would speak to me and give me something? If I was lacking something, this is one of the things he gave me. It gave me wings to fly. I was I was committing a mistake in the four fields. I was trying to go out and make connection with people and invite them into a discovery group. So I was having all these conversations, trying to be friendly to people and say, would you like to get together and study the Bible? I was trying to jump from just connecting to starting a discovery group. And I have trained a lot of people and they weren't having success. And we learned this is where the problem was. We weren't sowing the gospel first. We weren't using the gospel, some kind of a presentation, as a filter to find the green light, yellow light people. You know, everybody's like either green, yellow, or red light. And some reject, but we're looking for those who are open, and we want to invite it. Would you like to study more? Would you like to read more about the Bible? Or Lord, what does it mean to follow Jesus? So that has revolutionized. It's like a wheel. Now we're not missing this piece. And we're also fulfilling our role as ambassadors. We are giving them, this is the message, we've been given the word of reconciliation. What are we talking about here? How God, the world was reconciled back to Christ, back to God through his son. We are fulfilling our ministry of reconciliation by sharing this. You don't have to go for a quick decision or anything, but you really want to continue on and say, hey, would you like to invite your family or your friends? But you can imagine 300 more people hear the gospel this week. If we all share it with three people, some will share it with more. Okay, what's the last point? The last question, number four, is when. This is where I'm going to start poking a little bit, Nathan. Okay, when. And I do this out of love. When will you start to make disciples? When will you start to make disciples? First thing is, when will you pray for your oikos map? I carry mine in my pocket. I took a picture of it on my cell phone. I start praying for those people in my oikos map. When will you do that? What day? When will you do that? What day? What time? When will you share your story? Which would be looking forward, looking back, your testimony. When will you share your story? Think of a name. When will you share God's story, the gospel? Write some names there, times. And then when will you train, or who will you train, or when will you train someone in 411? Put a name, names, and a time. Practice it. Start practicing it. Don't just be a trainer. Practice what you're doing, but start passing it on. Start multiplying. We need seed sowers. This is the ground level. If we lose this, we will slowly lose momentum. Could you imagine if there was revival? Remember in the 70s when a lot of us were coming to Christ? We were, as Bill McDonald used to call it, gossiping the gospel. We were always telling everybody about the change in our lives. We were so excited about it. We need to get back to God. Send a revival. Give us excited about this. Give me courage to talk to other people about it. But start training other people in what you just learned. I think that's simple enough, right? So that's it for today. And as I said, it can't get much simpler than that. And hopefully it's biblical. So could you pray for us, Ron? Do you hear me? Is my microphone on?
This morning, throughout this week, we pray, Lord, that you will be gracious, and some of us would even share more. Mm-hmm. Help us to get back to these basic principles of spreading the seed, the Word of God, and then seeing your work through the power of the Holy Spirit raise up others and to be able to train others. Thank you for this simple process that's biblical, that's easy to understand and to remember, and easy to pass on to others. We pray for fruit. We pray mm-hmm. for revival. Mm-hmm. We pray, Lord, that we would be doers of the word and not hearers only. Mm-hmm. Give us the courage. Give us the power of the Spirit of God as we share this story of our lives, of how you touched our hearts with the love of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you. If you want to know more, I'll be around for about a month, so you can ask questions if you want. And there's other people here who know about this stuff too. Thank you.